You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. It's Mail It In Friday, brought to you by 1 in 100.
Well, I don't expect a lot, man. Pretty much if the hut doesn't burn down, it's been a good day.
It's kind of what we do on Friday.
I was transferring the contents of the file into this flexible accordion-style folder.
I'm not working today, man. I got an earache.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Perfect timing, Mulls and Hazy B. Okay? Noodles is not here.
Should we welcome Craig Button into the fold here? Craggy's in. We haven't seen
Resident
Craig in a while.
GM and scout Craig Button in the house. We love him. He's a part of it. But I need to talk to Mulls and Hazy B. Jamie McLennan does not like golf. I want you to search on your engine there where Tiger and Phil played their match in Vegas.
Shadow Creek.
Do you and Mulls want to play at Shadow Creek on the Wednesday when we land? Because I am organizing that, and you got that option, or you want to go to Top Golf and get drunk with Noodles. Are you even serious? You can never get on this course, and you're thinking about it.
Okay, I guess Shadow Creek, but like, what time are we teeing off? What's the plan? How are we going to get out there? I mean, you can't just fire that at me and expect an answer. We got to think of our boy Noodles.
Can I weigh in real quickly?
Like, Noodles will go watch Buffalo play Edmonton in like a crummy sports bar. That's what he wants to do.
Probably valid.
What time of the day? What are the drinks going to be? It should be yes.
The answer is yes, Craig. Yeah. You're speaking on behalf
Mulls,
of
Mulls. Do you have a thought? Or
I'm in.
Yeah.
I just don't want to leave Noodles out.
It's one of the most exclusive
courses. Wait a second. Hang on a second. Noodles has a choice here. He can be in. It's his. What? You're going to be
Noodles does not want to golf anywhere. He hates golf. He hates bugs. He hates trees.
All right, I'm in. Once in a lifetime opportunity.
Yeah, fine. Lock us in. But what kind of etiquette comes with a course like this? Because we're coming in hot. And I, you know, do I have to bring my own sticks? Do I got to make sure that I'm dressed appropriately? Because if we show up.
Just think of this. When you get on the cart, you lift up the seat of the cart. It's loaded with cold beers and vodka.
I might not leave the
and
cart.
And Jack Daniel. Like,
Mullen can be kind of a part-time golfer.
I'll play every other hole, maybe.
Every other hole. And outside of that, Mullen will just stay in the cart and drink booze.
I thought you were kind of a golf.
I play golf. I'm not very good, but I play.
All right, we're in. That's fine. I think it's a little bit greasy that Noodles isn't here to represent his side
of the
party.
That's why I did it. He's not here. That's why we just land and we say, you know what? We have to go do a mic check. It's a bag chuck and a mic check. We got to go to the studio and Noodles, don't worry about it. We got to go check our headphones. Right?
All right. Yeah, we'll look into it.
Is that greasy or no?
I'm on board. I have no problem with it. It's Vegas. Everyone is on their own schedule anyway. And Noodles, like you said, he'll find a bar. He'll make friends. We'll come back. He'll be in Reno somehow. But we'll figure it out. We got a month to figure this out. And yesterday we had Ashley and Chad in here. Very exciting news. They're coming along
for
the ride.
Maybe Chad's our fourth.
Maybe he wants to play. They're bringing
if he's
family
brutal,
and friends.
No way.
That's the thing, man.
Mulls, if
you're
course. Really bad at it, you're not coming.
I'm not good.
But I can't.
That's what I'm worried about. I've never played with Mullen. I don't know. What's your handicap, Mulls?
I don't even know how to count my handicap.
That's a problem.
You got to just drink in the cart. You can't play.
My best score is an 88. That's it.
That's not bad. I mean, it could be a lot worse.
Not bad. That in actuality, that means 97. He didn't shoot 88.
Well, it's better than some people. But, all right, we got a month to figure this out. I do think on Monday when Noodles is back, he gets to represent his case. He's going to come up with an itinerary,
but he's got to match it.
He's got to match it or exceed it, which actually puts the pressure on him pretty nicely.
Okay, so we're basically doing a contest on Monday.
You and Noodles, because you guys have been there each
75
times.
Okay, my offer is this. I'm taking care of golf and the caddies. Which is basically...
I know, that's the thing. You're dipping into the pocket
no,
real
it's
quick.
My pocket, though. It's my treat to
I
my,
understand that,
to my bros. My package, it's basically like Bob Barker is doing this showcase showdown. The estimated value of my package is $4,000.
All right.
So what do you think Noodles is going to do to say, I got
a couple of suggestions and ideas. I'm not going to sway him one way or the other, but who knows what he comes with. He may come with the heater of all Vegas package heaters.
What is he going to say to you and that guy back there to say, I got to go with you?
We'll find out on Monday, okay? Noodles, he's in Carolina tonight. He's calling the Ottawa game. Craig, you've been to Vegas a million times, I'm assuming.
I have, yep.
Have you? Everyone you talk to that's been to Vegas a lot of times, they all say the same thing. Well, I've been there in many different fashions. I've been there for work. I've been there with friends. I've been there with my wife. I've been there with my kids.
That's my stance. I've been there every situation.
Yep. Every single way, huh?
And that's what Vegas has become now. It's become something for everybody,
right,
depending on what you want to do. But I always enjoy it.
It generally is a pretty good time.
My girls are 22 and 25, and they're starting to plan trips down there with their friends. So probably just like we were when we were young.
It's like
you know my legendary story from Vegas.
Do I know your... I don't know if I know it.
I was like a hot shot in Carolina, like 40 goal scorer. And I flew my best friends out there. And we went to... a peeler joint. In mid-afternoon. And we were all talking to these girls. And I had to pull my buddies aside. And we were all supposed to meet up at like 11 o'clock at night for drinks after. And I said, guys, I hate to tell you, the girls that you were talking to, they're not showing up. They're not doing it. Like, they're just... So we're going to meet back at the rooftop, and it's like 11 o'clock at night. My one buddy's friend shows up. The other one shows up. I got ninja dust.
And the only one that didn't have a partner.
Yeah, I got feathers.
Was the man with the plastic. The guy paying for the whole operation.
And they looked at me and they just both gave me the finger at the same time. They said,
good for them.
Yeah, of course.
You're on your own. Get the hell out of here. You were being a big shot and now I got the girl and you don't. There you have it.
It was sad. Well. It was a sad time.
From hot shot to sad face.
Yeah, we'll try to lift your spirits this time, all right? Dan Orlovsky, I got a big one for you to lift your spirits on Mail-In Friday. We got a pre-tape coming up a little bit later on.
Amazing.
The 12-year vet in the NFL, and he's a current ESPN NFL analyst, will join us at 4:30 in two big games, two biggest games of the year. I think this Sunday is the most entertaining football Sunday of the year.
I don't know why, but I think the Pats are going to win everything. I just got that feeling that this is the one last just...
There's nothing wrong with that take. Like,
no.
Why would they not be able to win?
No.
They're not. What I am most convinced of, they're not going to get crushed. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, I was nervous that they were going to get crushed, and they crushed L.A.
The Chargers. Yeah. Well, everyone.
So that got my attention. I'm thinking maybe they do it this year.
I think it's going to be a great game. I think both games are going to be exceptional games.
Agreed.
Right. It sets up beautifully. The four best teams, the top four seeds, top four offenses. Everything leads to storylines for days. And really, from a radio guy standpoint, where I'm just looking for content, and the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl can be a bit painful at times because, you know, you're really beating a dead horse. By the time the game comes, you're like, oh, man, we've talked about this a million different times.
What did you just say? The top four seeds are going to be in the conference round 1-2, 1-2?
Yeah. Hmm. You like that?
Yeah.
Is this
an
NHL take?
Do that?
I figured you might be going
kind of a nice idea, isn't it?
Yeah. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, I guess conceivably it could happen in the NHL if let's say Tampa, Washington, Calgary, Winnipeg are all actually the four top teams in the league points-wise.
Yeah, you're right.
Technically, it could happen if all the division leaders get there in the end.
I just don't understand why they're not open to it. Like, they're just like, no, we're happy with the way it is. Just look at it and like, take a look and say maybe it's best for the game.
One through eight is what you're saying?
Yes.
Revert back to 1-8?
Well, did it cause any problems when it was 1-8?
No.
Zero.
I didn't see any problems. I didn't see any big issue with it.
I don't remember hearing any complaints. Like,
zero.
None. You know, it was never something that people really even brought up as as a talking point to adjust in any way.
And the NFL plays a division heavy schedule. Like it's not like you can't be division during the regular season and build those rivalries. But you know, I was watching Winnipeg and Nashville last night, and I was thinking, like, you know, we talk about geographical rivalries. Was there any? I mean, Atlanta, when they the former iteration of the Winnipeg Jets, they were pretty close to Nashville. You know, you'd think that that would be, there was no rivalry because Atlanta was garbage, right? And now you get Winnipeg and Nashville because they're in the same division, because they're competing in the playoffs, right? In a really, in a great series last year, right? Well, now we're, people are anticipating a January game.
Yes, that's right.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. And
Vegas and Winnipeg. Why? You think that that would, somebody would look on the schedule and go, oh yeah, we're going to have a, you go, no, but because they play in the playoffs, boom.
Yeah. And the truth is, if you reverted back to the one, through eight, one versus eight, two versus seven, it's just as likely that these teams are going to meet each other at some point.
Yeah.
Like, if I believe, last time I checked, now it might have changed last night, but I believe yesterday, if the playoffs started yesterday, four versus five would have been Toronto-Boston. So you still would have had that. You know, you still would have had the division rivals going at it. You don't have to, it doesn't, instead of two versus three, it's four versus five, but you still get effectively the same, you know, payoff in the end,
well,
if that's what
exactly,
you're looking for.
And that's all you're looking for, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and again, to Jeff's point earlier, like, when you don't allow for the possibility, then don't be disappointed when you, some of your top seeds are out in the first or the second round. The Washington Capitals, President's Trophy winners have to go through the Pittsburgh Penguins in the second round. They're gone. I don't think that's good for a league to have the potential of your set. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but don't set it up for it to happen.
Well, I agree with that because what the NHL has done here is they, and maybe it's always been this way, because I do think the most entertaining round is the first round, where you've got eight matchups and there's multiple games every night. It's more just because there's an overconsumption of hockey.
But you only say that because of the way the setup is right now, where quality teams are setting up right off the gate, or right out of the gate.
Well, I again,
if it was one versus eight, I don't think people would be saying the most entertaining rounds are right now.
No, I don't think they should. From a business perspective, it probably shouldn't be. I'm saying maybe it's more just like, it's like March Madness. Like the best, the first Thursday and Friday might be the best days, just because it's game after game after game.
But it's also one versus 16 and two versus 15.
No, I understand that. But I guess the point I'm trying to get to here is the NBA does it the opposite way. The first two rounds in the NBA, almost irrelevant. But there's a crescendo. It's moving up towards the pinnacle event.
Yeah.
You know, like, it seems like every year, one versus two in the NBA, and then one versus one in the finals, even though it's much more predictable, and I'm not saying the NBA is perfect right now in terms of entertainment value, but the NHL, it's almost the opposite way. You got to watch the first two rounds, and then I don't know who's left by the conference final and the final. We'll see. It's like it peaks too soon with the way it's currently set up. And maybe that's just because of the game. There's way more Cinderellas. There's more upsets in hockey.
Yeah.
You know, in basketball, they just don't happen. You know, it never happens. One versus eight, you know exactly who's going to win. You know, so maybe it's just natural that way anyway, but I'm with you. I'd have no problem with one versus eight, reverting to that. I'd love one versus 16. You know, that'd be great, but I understand with aerodynamics and travel and costs and the environment and all that, it's probably not going to happen. But, you know, geographical matchups and rivalries, last time I checked, Toronto to Tampa is like a three-hour flight. You know, it's not like these, yeah, they're in the same division, but they're not right around the corner.
Yeah, it's 2.5.
Yeah, so
Detroit and Colorado had pretty good rivalry.
Yeah, they did. Absolutely. The Lakers and the Celtics have had 50 years of rivalries.
Yeah.
But that was a big one for the Leafs last night, and they're back in action tonight. But I thought that was just a thoroughly entertaining game.
Yeah.
I thought all the big boys on both teams, they showed up. You know, not everyone had a perfect night or anything, but I thought both teams, you know, brought a quality effort. There were some mistakes, but what I found interesting about last night, it was caused by effort and smart plays on the opposition as opposed to just, you know, bonehead plays, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
You know, like,
yeah,
remember,
being forced into
being forced into it. That's what it felt like. Like, these are two good teams and they're playing at a high pace. It was a fast game. There was a lot of traffic. You know, I credit the Leafs, all four goals, including obviously the empty netter, basically right around the crease. That's where you had to get to score last night. You know, and I thought it was a great game. It was a fun game, and the Leafs needed the 2 points. That was what was important. Not how they played, but the result, in my opinion.
We've talked about it earlier, Brian. Mike Babcock, the one thing I'll give him is sometimes when they're under the gun, and it hasn't been a whole lot since he took over the job, like we talked a couple years ago, they got crushed in Florida, and they had to play Tampa the next night. They won 4-0. They generally can step up and get the job done when they're under the gun. And they needed that. They needed that for Jake Gardner. They needed that for their confidence. They lost 5-7, didn't they, going in?
Yep.
5-7 in regulation before last night.
And trust me, players have all kinds of meetings like, guys, and it resonates differently with all different players when somebody sits down, like a Ron Francis sits down and says, guys, we got to win this game. Good teams do not lose this game. And you got to sit there and look at him and say, and that's what I love about like leadership. That's why I love being around the NHL and looking at guys like that, where a guy like Ron Francis would sit down and say, like, he played with Mario, he played with Jagr, he won Stanley Cups. And when he sat down and said, we got to win this game, good teams don't lose it, that's my, like, Rocky Balboa moment where I'd look at him and be like, I'm going out there and I'm going to win this game tonight. I don't know if the Leafs have that guy or did that or anything like that, but that's what I loved about competitive sports, where like when a guy said that, it was like...
Well, and that guy had to follow through on that, too, didn't
no
he?
No kidding. He and you know who was always the best player when he said that? Ron Francis.
Right.
And that's why they are what they are. That's why they're in the Hall of Fame. That's why they they got that many points.
I was waiting for it last night. I'm not meaning to pick away at a win where, you know, I thought Kapanen was outstanding last night. That Kadri line, they played really well. I thought Matthews was engaged at times, but he's that guy who you think they're building into the Ron Francis, you know, big dog. And
I think he's got way more to offer, to be honest with
you. He does. You know, I was waiting for him last night to be like, okay, I'm the best player on the ice tonight. Like, now, different competition. But I watched that game when Edmonton had lost, what was it, 6 or 7 in a row, and they went into Arizona. And Arizona's not any good. And compared to Tampa, it's night and day. But McDavid was like, if I have to score 7 goals tonight, I'll score 7 and we win 7-6.
Scary.
It was incredible to watch him play that night. And he scored 2 and he scored the empty netter to close it, blocked the shot. This was a couple of weeks ago. I was kind of waiting for Matthews to be like, I'm not letting Stamkos be the best player. I'm not letting Kucherov be the best player. Hedman, I am going to Babcock and I'm saying, play me 20 tonight and I'm going to be crushing these guys. And I didn't see that out of him last night.
No. A little sleepy. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he was
engaged at times. I'm not waiting for him to be the best player on the ice against Tampa or...
But he's got to be. He's the best player on this team.
No, but I'm waiting for you can be the best player in the world. Not on the ice against Tampa or against Buffalo or Jack Eichel. But he's just taken a bit of a step back, which I don't know if the injury or I don't know what's going on, but he's got a lot more to offer. You go back to the meeting, Craig, when he went to Arizona and I don't know what he said. Put me on the number one power play unit. Put me with this guy. But you look who he's playing with right now, and he's on the second power play unit. I don't know. And I talked to Mike Babcock about it after the season. Patrice Bergeron, every shift, he goes out there with Pastrnak and Brad Marchand. So he gets to do his job, and he's quite comfortable doing it.
Yeah, and you know, Jeff, there's something to be said for being comfortable. As long as you're producing, and you know, and you got to allow players to work through it. I thought Mike last night, the moves he made, Johnsson stepped up with Tavares and Marner. I mean, the winning goal, that was a hell of a play by Johnsson, you know, skating, using his speed. And the Kapanen and Kadri-Marlowe line, were they pushing the pace. And
yeah.
They were excellent. And, you know, Patrick Marlowe had gone a long time without scoring, and Kadri had gone a long time without scoring. And those aren't easy games to score, as you point out. But, you know, it's really interesting. I was talking about this last week about Monahan, Goudreau, and Lindholm. And Lindholm jumping onto that line has forced opponents to defend the entire defensive zone when they're out on the ice. They can work high to low, side to side, and they're always attacking into the middle of the ice. I'm watching that game last night with Hyman, Matthews, and Nylander. They didn't really put the opponent on their heels. They didn't force the opponent. You talk about forcing them into mistakes. I didn't find that. It was almost like they were waiting for something to happen, and they weren't in bad position. But you got to get on your toes. Mike uses that term, get on your toes. I didn't see them on their toes.
Well, and exactly, the perfect contrast to that in many ways was the perceived third line where Kadri and Kapanen, like look where Marlowe and Kadri scored their goals, yep. Like right in front of the net, and they went to the net and they realized, I got to get dirty here to maybe get off the snide. And Kapanen, with his pace and his speed, if you put him up against a third pair, like Dan Girardi had no chance against him last night. No chance. And Girardi's a guy who's going to play 1,000 games and been in the league for 13 years. He's a good, smart player, but no shot. If Kapanen's dancing and moving on him, he's got no shot.
And Craig's talked about that in playoff series where you're not going to push a Victor Hedman out of a series. You're not going to push a Kucherov or a Stamkos out of a series. Maybe you can, but most likely you won't. But a guy like Kapanen in the playoffs, he can push a Dan Girardi out of a series. He can expose him and say, I'm so fast, you're older, I am going to abuse you every time I get the puck and I go down the right side. And that's what the playoffs is all about. Craig's talked about it a million times, like fascinating different things. Like, you know, you're playing against a certain team, it's like, okay, there's a matchup where you're going to get Forsberg one night, but you're not getting them the next night. You're going to get Sakic, something different. You tilt it and you try to change it up. It's... that matchup right there is something so simple, but it could change a playoff series.
Well, Jeff, think about yourself, okay? Think about when you were in a game and you go, whoa, this could be a 2-3 goal night, right?
But Craig, do you know how many times I turned back to Paul Maurice and said, can you get me away from Scott Stevens? I can't move.
Why didn't you want to play against Scott Stevens?
Well, because I dumped the puck in the corner and I said, I don't want to get it.
The reason everybody didn't want to play against Scott Stevens.
Yeah, but there were some matchups where it's like, I can't move out there. I'm not doing anything. Ronnie can't move. He's getting crushed. He's falling down. Can you just get us a different matchup? Because it changes everything.
You know, one of the interesting things, and I go back to it, and it's one example. In the 2000 Stanley Cup playoffs, in the conference final, New Jersey was playing Philadelphia. And anyway, you know, New Jersey had some smaller defensemen. Brian Rafalski, Niedermeyer wasn't a big defenseman, right?
No.
And so the Flyers are just frothing at the mouth. Oh, wait till we get to these smaller defensemen. You know what Larry Robinson did with he put Claude Lemieux as an opponent. So you had to go through Claude Lemieux before you got to Rafalski.
Yeah.
No chance.
He's
so the coach is saying, let's get to Rafalski, let's get to Niedermeyer. You could never get to them because you had to go through Claude Lemieux or you had to go through one of those big wingers, Randy McKay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's not just about who you're – like the coaches have to recognize and put you in positions where you can take advantage. And also in that case with Larry Robinson, he's making sure – you're not getting to these two guys.
I'm going
to
put a shield up here.
We lost the Stanley
guys.
Cup final that year to New Jersey, and at the end of it, we said we had no answer for Niedermeyer. Whatever we tried to do, they countered, and we tried. We just couldn't make a dent.
Yeah. Well, and I think you also, you know, you got to give credit to the players as well.
Yep.
I think the evolution of Kapanen. I remember earlier in the year where Babcock said, you know, if this guy wants to be a player in the league, he's got to play more like Hyman, and he's got to realize that he's maybe a bottom six guy.
He's not playing like Hyman.
No, he's not. But I'll give you an example, though. No, but here's where, let's be fair to Zach Hyman. I'll give you an example of the difference in the evolution of Kapanen and what I'd like to see, because that message got to go to William Nylander next. Before that Kadri goal, Kapanen goes wide, and he drives to the net. If that's Nylander, he stops up and comes back and looks for a pass.
Curl back.
Kapanen said, I'm putting my shoulder down and I'm going to the net. And that's a Hyman-type move. He's got more skill than Hyman. But that's a mentality where you got to realize, I'm a big guy and I can move. And if they want to try to hit me, they can. But I'm going to the net. And Kapanen did that last night. And he's done it more this year. And that's what you need. William Nylander's got to start doing that. Like, he's got to get dirty. He's got to get into the dirtier areas. And
I play with a guy in Carolina. His name was Eric Cole.
Yep.
This guy could go wide and drive the net like no other. And he got a little bit comfortable, and he wanted to be fancy, and he started stopping up. And I pulled him aside and said, you've got one move. It's drive the net. You're like Glenn Anderson. Like, you stick your leg out. You got that power move to the net. And the shift of momentum, if he didn't score, everyone was going one way, and there'd be an open net forever. Like, his line mates would just be like, tap in, thank you very much for driving the net.
It's throwing a grenade at the other team.
No kidding.
Like, because it's going to cause a huge scene right where
when you're that fast.
House. Exactly.
I've used the term I've watched Kapanen play since he was 15. He's always had the skating ability and the flashes and everything. And like any young player, they have inconsistency. But it's over time, and I use this term, there had to be more of a constancy of purpose to his game. That's exactly what I see now. The skating, he understands. My skating is a difference maker. My skating is a weapon that threatens the opponent.
Right.
And he uses it now. And when you watch Kasperi play now, whether it be penalty killing last night, right, you see that constancy of purpose. And, you know, Mike Babcock talks about, you got to feel good about yourself. Well, it's not about just waking up and go, I feel good about myself. You feel good by doing the things that give you success.
Right.
To me, Kasper Kapanen has really taken that step up where he's consistent and there's real constant purpose to his game. And he's become a real catalyst for this team.
He has. And, you know, he's Sammy's kid, but he's a big guy. He's wide. Like, he's a thicker dude. Like,
he's a powerful man.
He's a powerful guy. And I thought he played exceptionally well last night. Leafs in Florida tonight. The pregame at 6:30, so we're out of here early. Mail It In Friday brought to you by 1in100.net for a 1in100 chance of winning killer seats to any Toronto game. Go to 1in100.net and your first entry is free. 12-year NFL vet Dan Orlovsky on the upcoming weekend in the NFL. The perfect Super Bowl matchup for him. We'll get into that. What will Belichick do to try to shut down Mahomes? And should Rams fans be concerned about Jared Goff in the biggest moment, biggest platform of his career? We'll get that answer next. All right, future headlines at 5:30. A bit of a different spin. We were talking about this yesterday. The 10-year challenge is ongoing. I've got future headlines for the year 2029. And we're going to pick which ones are more reasonable, which ones would we put money on. We'll get to that around 5:30.
By the way, that's the biggest, like...
I know, we got into it yesterday. We don't have to circle back.
10-year challenge, really.
Yeah.
Facebook's just trying to rob you of your security. So go ahead and do your stupid challenge.
Look at you, Mel Gibson over here. Conspiracy theorist. I like it.
Why else would they do that?
I dumped my Facebook.
You're off? Fat enough?
I got sick of the breaches of, basically they have your dad and everything, and I got sick one after another. I understand one, five and six and everything. Sorry, you're gone.
Oh, they're doing it on purpose. Yeah, but now you
realize. I got sick of my friends with the sniffles at home, sick, not feeling good. Really? Deal with it. Deal with it.
Well, deal with it, but yeah, the Facebook update is unnecessary. I'll give you that one, but
or the person that says I'm having coffee and then right till midnight when they go to bed, it's an update every 10 minutes. Mm. That's why I'm not on Facebook.
Overdrive, we got a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Caps, January 23rd. Every day this week, we have been providing the clue to the identity of a current or ex Maple Leaf player. Today is the final clue, and then the phone lines will be open. This Swedish defenseman was signed as a free agent by the Leafs March 9th, 2004, and played 8 regular season games. Phone lines are open, 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. First one in with that name, you're going to see Leafs take on the Caps. All right, caught up with longtime NFL quarterback, ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky earlier this afternoon. Began by asking him, because I think this is the best Sunday of the year. Does he believe this is the best Sunday of the year?
I mean, I love every weekend, to be honest with you. I mean, this is a... Last weekend is certainly special because it gives you you're one step closer to that ultimate goal. This weekend, unfortunately, I was never part of it as a player, but this weekend is one that you always look forward to because it sets that 2-week storyline, narrative, conversation, emotion leading up to the prize fight. And so it'll be a fun weekend.
For me, in terms of content, as a sports radio guy, I'm always looking for something new and fresh. So I think it's Kansas City against the Rams would be ideal for me in terms of content and originality. Do you have a perfect Super Bowl matchup in mind?
Yeah. You could really go with any one, to be honest with you. I mean, the perfect one, I really believe, would be... Oh, man. I'd love to see Brady and Breeze duel it out. I think that would be a, not that they're going to be done playing, but a culmination match in a way of you know, two guys that are going to be wearing gold jackets. I'd also love to see a Brady and Goff kind of a passing of the torch match or vice versa. Breeze versus Mahomes, a passing of the torch. And then I'd love to see the young guns sling it out. I don't know. Quarterback-wise, there are some really, really cool storylines no matter what. I don't have a perfect one. I'm going to be excited for any of them.
Well, we were talking with Ross Tucker yesterday, and Ross made the point. He said of all four quarterbacks, the only one that would make him nervous as a fan base would be Jared Goff. You know, he knows what he's getting out of Brady, Mahomes, Breeze. Is that a fair statement that the Rams should be a little bit nervous of Goff at this type of a stage?
I think that's a little bit of a low-hanging fruit and easy thing to say. I don't know if it's necessarily like We haven't seen Jared Goff in this moment, but we didn't see Tom Brady in this moment before he went on his run either. And I'm not saying those guys are the same person, but the first AFC championship game that Tom Brady was in was the first time AFC championship game Tom Brady won. He didn't need the experience to get through it and learn from it. So I don't know if that's I trust Jared Goff just as feel in confident in him, because as sports fans, we often just put it on the guy, the quarterback. But I trust him because of everything else around him. I trust him because of his, as much as I do the other guys, because of his coach, because of his play caller. I trust him as much as I do the other guys because of the weapons around him. I trust as much as I do the other guys because of that defense that he gets to play with that can be opportunistic and that had a great week last week. So, listen, Brady's. This is a wake up Tuesday morning for Brady. We know that with him in these moments. But you know, Breeze is certainly cooled off here at the end of the year, and Mahomes, as great as he is, certainly, you know, we've seen him make some throws this year that you should not make because of the fear that something bad more often than not happens doing it. What happens if he doesn't get away with it type thing, you know? So there's I don't know if I trust Jared Goff any less than I trust some of those other guys because of the total picture.
With 12-year NFL quarterback and ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky, the weather has been a huge topic of discussion all week in Kansas City. Is it getting appropriate coverage? Is it being overblown, underblown? How much of a factor do you think the weather plays?
Well, I don't really see it being that big a deal. But New England is certainly adept to handle it and been in these moments in this weather, and they'll be fine. And then I know there's the question of the weather and the cold with Mahomes, but when you watch him throw the ball, you can tell that he's got massive hands that are great with grip and cover a lot of the ball. So the cold and the weather really won't play a factor in my mind with this game. To be honest with you, it's going to be more with some injuries and who's going to be able to stay the healthiest. Does Barry play, and how healthy can he be? How does Gronk feel? Those are more of the storylines for me rather than the weather.
Bill Belichick, famous for his game planning, for his adjustments. We saw it, obviously, last week. Philip Rivers, he completely neutralized Rivers. If you're Belichick, or if you can get into his mind, if that's possible, Dan, how do you think Belichick approaches Patrick Mahomes, and how is he going to try to shut him down?
Yeah, I mean, the notorious Belichick way is I'm going to take number one away, and I'm going to make number two, three, four, five beat me because I don't believe they're good enough over four quarters to do that. So I got to imagine that he's going to, you know, flip up, rotate, switch, sporadically double Kelce and Hill. Not both on every play, but he's going to continue to throw that changeup to Patrick Mahomes and see, you know, because every offensive coordinator runs every specific play gets run through a guy, especially in the pass game. You're going to run it through a guy. So Belichick wants to continue to change and play that guessing game of this is where they like to run this play through Kelce. Let's double him. Run it through Hill. Let's double him. He'll do that. There's no doubt. But that's also what makes the Chiefs really viable is they don't have just one guy, and they don't have just two guys. They've got these multiple weapons, and that's what makes them really difficult. I'd imagine, and this is something that New England has done throughout the year. They did it in the first time these teams met, a couple months ago, earlier in the season, and the Chiefs struggled with it, was New England brought versions of zero blitz. When I say zero blitz, everybody's going to blitz. Everybody else that is not blitzing is just playing man-to-man coverage by themselves, no help, anything. New England does it a little differently because they'll blitz everybody. Sometimes they'll have the same look, and then guys will drop out, and they'll play the coverage a little differently, but you never know. And Kansas City struggled with it. Mahomes struggled with it in that first game. I got to imagine this is how they squashed the Chargers last week. The Chargers had no plan. If you don't have a plan for that stuff, it's almost impossible. So I'd imagine they're going to throw a lot of that early on to Patrick Mahomes and say, what's your plan? Are you ready for this?
With Dan Orlovsky, on the other side of it, last week I thought Brady and the offense for the Pats, who was clinical, that first half, that was a Mona Lisa. I mean, they killed the clock, they moved the chains, a lot of screens, a lot of runs, You know, James White, Sony Michel, they were beasts. Those were really the offensive weapons in the end. Gronk played his role. He blocked incredibly effectively. Like, I think he's been underrated throughout his career. But what do you expect out of Brady and their offense against this Chiefs defense? Do you think they start to spread the field a little bit, more deep shots, or do you expect to see kind of what we saw last week against the Chargers?
Well, what happened last week, which was fascinating to see, was the Patriots are notorious for kind of being those chameleons week by week, in the, especially in the playoffs. The game plan will totally change. Some weeks they're, let's pound it. Some weeks they're, we're going to go a ton of screens. Some weeks we're going to throw the ball deep, spread you out. I have grown up in this Patriot era of dominance, and I've never seen what I saw from their offense last week where, and I've kind of referenced Mystique from the X-Men, where they just kept changing play by play by play. You want us to spread you out? We'll spread you out. You want us to go heavy run game? Heavy run game. Oh, you want a screen? Here comes a screen. You want to go play action? Let's go play action. You want us to take a deep? It was like every play, they became something different. And to sit there and go, what are they going to do? We have no idea. And that's the fascinating thing about them. Like, you watch the first game, and they got into run personnel and run formations, which forces the Chiefs to get in their three-man front, that 3-4 defense, and then New England ran inside. They ran basically in between the guards, which is the weakness of a 3-4 defense. That's how you want to run at it. And then they got into more pass grouping, and that forced the Chiefs to get in a four-man front, which is more of a nickel defense, more DBs on the field or more speed, and they ran outside, which is how you want to attack a four-man team. And it was, you know, kind of a clinical way back in that first game, like you had mentioned last week with the Charger game. How are they going to go attack the Chiefs? I got no idea. I have no clue, because you can say, let's spread them out, but then that also gives you vulnerability against the Chiefs pass rush that we saw last week, which was dominant. But they want to be a little bit of everything. They're going to be a little bit of everything this week. I honestly believe that if I had to guess, they're going to be a little bit of everything that we saw last week against the Chargers. And I do believe that they will rely more on the run game to try and play that keep away from Patrick Mahomes.
He is 12-year NFL vet, ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky. It's going to be a blast on Sunday. Enjoy every minute of it and enjoy the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks. Really appreciate you doing this. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks for having me, boss.
Boss, I like that. That's my new handle around here, the boss man. Frank's Red Hot wants to add a kick to your football party this February. Text the keyword Frank's and your name to 105050. Frank's and your name to 105050, and you could win 53 bottles of Frank's Red Hot and $2,500 cash to spend on your party anywhere you want. All the details are up on our website. Visit tsn1050.ca for details.
One of your, like, cult followers just said, like, he sent me the, I don't know what it is, a Fitbit, but he went 0.02 kilometers, 40 steps.
I saw that, Ryan. Hashtag couching. That's my plan on, I got to beat 40. We got to place a number. This is it. Sunday afternoon, championship Sunday, the Leafs play Arizona that night. What's the least amount of steps I can pull off?
But you're not going to get gross and, like, put a bucket and piss in the bucket.
No, of course, I'm going to act like a human being. I'm a dignified man. Right, Craig?
You are.
Thank you. Ray's coming up.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You wake up in the morning. Do you stay in bed and get breakfast in bed to save a step?
I got to get downstairs. You know, like, my girls aren't around. So I got to go downstairs.
I didn't know they're not around.
Yeah, that's the whole point. That's the only way I'm getting away with this, Craig.
Why don't you sleep on the couch the night before?
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe. Maybe
that's a great couch.
Maybe you plan it the night before. Maybe I set up everything the night before, and then I actually can find a way not to move. We'll see. We got to get creative. This is more effort we put into any other bit, and it's a bit about complete lack of effort.
I love it.
It actually suits us beautifully. Ray's coming up. Dregs in studio. Leafs back in action tonight. Raps with a big win last night. We'll touch on that next. All right, future headlines at 5:30. Ray's coming up just after 5 as well. Get his take on the Leafs win last night in Tampa. They needed that. And back at it tonight in Florida. Raptors, they've got Memphis in town tomorrow night. No Leafs on Saturday night, so Raptors night in Canada tomorrow. And they had a big win. They needed that. No Kawhi Leonard. Pascal Siakam. gets the ball out of a timeout, tie game late, buzzer beater. I love that.
Guy's a stud.
Listen, you look at his progression year over year over year. It's like really astonishing the numbers.
You
want to
talk about
up.
Development? Like people talk about player develop. That's development.
That's development. Raptors 905, and then you come up and you sprinkle in some minutes. And I like that Nurse gave him that opportunity to close last night, like he did. I think it says something about Kyle Lowry and how he's ice cold offensively right now. Because if he was hot, the ball's in Kyle's hands, and if Kawhi's playing, the ball's likely in Kawhi's hands. But it's early in the season, relatively speaking. Get touches. Make sure people feel good about themselves. That's what happened last night.
Well, Ibaka hits the big overtime winner, too, in double overtime a couple games ago.
That's what you need, right?
That's exactly
Everyone
what you
needs
need.
To contribute. If you're going to be an elite team, you need that. You need to spread the wealth. So we'll touch on the Raps, back into the Leafs. Big Sunday in the NFL as well coming up. Ray, in future headlines in the next hour. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.